We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Council President Aponte, you faced some challenges with your personal finances. In September, the State Elections Board found that you had borrowed thousands of dollars from your ex-wife and your city retirement account to pay back your campaign fund for more than $15,000 in expenses. You also still owe more than $47,000 in fines to the Election Board for late campaign finance filings. We know you're a very smart fellow, but what do you say to those people who question how they can have confidence in you as city council president when you have these kind of finance issues?
I am not immune to bad economic times, as no one is, and I think I've been pretty forthright with the circumstances. Certainly I've been forthright with the Board of Elections during our conversations and have cooperated fully, as I intend to do. I'm not proud of the circumstances, but like many Rhode Islanders, difficult times have created those sorts of circumstances for me.
In September, the Elections Board decided to refer that first matter that I cited to the Attorney General's office. Have you had any communication with the Attorney General's office about that?
Not as of yet.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering how you feel about the new regime of police having cameras in Providence.
I support it. I think there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of the public policy and the police policy about when it's used, how it's used, who retains the data, how do we store the data, how does data get gotten rid of at some point. There is a balance between full and complete transparency and the need for police officers to do the work that they do. One question that has been raised by the ACLU is the ability for the public to get full transcripts and copies of that data. I'm hopeful, and we've been asked the Public Safety Commissioner and the police chief to come before the committee and provide us with what their policies will be with regard to the use of cameras and the retention of that data.
I know we've had a lot of talk about the firefighters in Providence, but the police seem to be a different category. How do you think, under Commissioner Perry and Chief Clements, they've made progress or not in dealing with some of the minority neighborhoods?
I am a huge fan of Chief Clements. I think he's done an amazing job. He's put a tremendous team together. I am thankful every day that we have not seen the level of conflict and violence that other cities have seen. I think that is a testament to the efforts of community policing and really holding hands with our community leaders and being much more present and addressing issues as they arise. And frankly, I think we've also been pretty lucky that we have not seen that. I think the issue of the body cameras is a step in the right direction if we take advantage of it right.
New York developer Jason Fain has scaled back his residential proposal for the I-195 district. He's now talking about one tower instead of three. But when he first came out, you described it as the three towers of evil. Is that the right message when the president of the city council talks about a proposed development in that kind of term?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, when someone comes seeking to develop in our city, and obviously will come seeking all the incentives that we provide, We should accept a higher standard. We should not assume the posture that all development is good development. Perhaps the comment, the Towers of Evil, is a little overstated, but it's, I cannot to this day find anyone who thought that the rendering that was provided was a good one and fit in our city.
I'm just wondering, the nonprofits are fabulous for the city. We all know Providence wouldn't be what it is without Brown, Rhode Island Hospital, Johnson & Wales, Providence College, but are they doing enough to contribute actual cash money to the city?
Look, this is my pet peeve. This is something that I continue to harp on. There was a recent article, an op-ed about Providence in bankruptcy and why Providence should pursue bankruptcy. I imagine that their intent in this is to break contracts, find a way for a lot of the city to get out of paying and satisfying its agreements and debts. If the world has changed that much, has it only changed that much for firefighters and police officers and clerks? Does that charter from King's James that they pull out every opportunity that we ask them to be better partners still stand? Does it withstand that change? I think that if Providence is to realize its fullest potential, the large tax exempts, especially the ones in education, have to lead that way, and they have to understand their impact, both directly and indirectly, and the impact of their expansion on our city.
We're talking here with Providence City Council President Luis Aponte. And Council President, the council has been taking a more assertive posture in its relationship with Mayor Lorza in the recent months. Why is that?
Look, we folks highlight the differences. We agree on much more than we disagree, and I've said this more than once. It's kind of like a family. You know, we can agree on where we want to go on vacation. We all may have different opinions on how to get there. I believe, and I can say honestly, the majority of my colleagues believe that the mayor is a good man and is trying to do the right things. Occasionally, we disagree on what the methods should be.
One thing we have seen is that it seems a real contrast in the way the council was acting under Mayor Angel Taveras. It does seem like there's less cooperation and more confrontation.
Well, the other part is that, you know, in the last term, there was a lot of infighting within the council. So there were lots of dynamics. I think that debate, discussion, and sometimes disagreement is healthy for a democracy. I don't believe that our job is to rubber stamp this mayor or any mayor's decisions.
What letter grade would you give Mayor Alorza for his performance as mayor?
I don't do that. I think the mayor is trying really hard. He's trying to put the best team he has together. He has inherited a city with many, many challenges, and I think he works hard every day.
Okay, to come at it from a different perspective, what area does he most need to improve in?
I think if I were to say, I think that we need to begin to get to the doing. I think we've planned a lot. We have had lots of conversations. I think that, we need to start putting things in place. We need to start getting to doing things.
What do you think his top accomplishment was, and what do you think he really needs to focus on the other side?
I think the mayor has been, it's interesting to watch the evolution. He's become a great cheerleader for this city. I think he's really understands it and is able to talk about it. I think we need to, we all do, as a city, as a city leaders, begin to put together and begin to take steps to address some of the more structural challenges. I think it's important that we plan.
The pension fund?
The pension fund, some of our structural challenges. I think, you know, the waning tax base, 46.3% of our tax base pays zero taxes. That is, and it's growing. It's growing in the wrong direction. The fact that everyone cringes every time Brown University announces an acquisition, that direction is unsustainable. And I think the mayor is poised to begin to have that conversation.
Do you have any concerns or differences of opinion with the state on Wexford's proposed development for the I-195 district?
No, I think it really complies with the vision of what the I-195 corridor could be, what was missing in our economy, those high-tech jobs, those high-tech opportunities. And I think the fact that Brown has partnered with them, it really signals that there is enough here in our city and state to be able to take advantage of those opportunities in those sectors of the economy.
I'm wondering, as you look down the road, how do we get more private sector folks who do pay taxes here? You know, we had the mall, but we gave them a huge tax break. And I'm wondering, at what point do we turn the corner in Providence?
Well, I would tell you, there was one time in my life that I agreed with Don Kucheri, and that's when he said, we don't need more taxes, we need more taxpayers. And I think that there is a direct nexus between the large tax exempts that do very well here, contributing something to the tax base, and our ability to lower taxes that are prohibitive now, like the commercial tax rate. It needs to be lowered, but a function of lowering it is that you can get those that are paying zero now to begin to contribute some real money to the tax base.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the president of the Providence City Council, Luis Aponte.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays, gentlemen.